Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing Grace. I don't need to tell you that in our day there is a great deal of disagreement among Christians as to what specific practices are forbidden and which are allowed. Now, it's not that the things that are clearly spelled out in the Bible are up for grabs, because they're not. We don't have to wonder about whether fornication is acceptable or not, or stealing is acceptable or not, or swearing, and so forth and so on. There are many things that are very clear in the Word of God, but there are a lot of things that are not quite so clear. And you have some Christians who have item upon item upon item upon item, have whole lists of things that they consider to be forbidden, and they will teach that to their congregations, and parents will teach that to their children. And on the other hand, you have Christians who take a very lax view of these matters and basically say nothing is forbidden as long as it's not clearly spelled out in the Bible as sin. Otherwise, the sky's the limit. Everything's okay unless the Bible specifically prohibits it. Well, it shouldn't be a surprise to us that the Christians in the first century also had questions like these. And they come up in Paul's responses to questions in the first epistle to the Corinthians. After dealing with the matters that concerned him in the first several chapters, he begins to answer their questions sent to him in chapters, starting, I guess, in chapter 6 and 7 and so forth. I guess starting with actually chapter 7, where he starts taking up their questions, first about marriage and then about other items. And we learn in chapter 8, he answers a question about meat offered to idols. Is that okay or not? Good question. You won't find that covered specifically in the Scriptures. But interestingly, he comes back to the same question in chapter 10, the one we're in now, and gives some additional instruction that he did not give in his first answer in chapter 8. And that is a section we're working through now. You'll find it in the first chapter, or 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 14 through 22. And we'll continue our study of this question on the Beacon Broadcast this Monday, January 17. We've moved into a new year, haven't we? January 17, and we are able to do so because of your kind and generous financial support. Well, the issue is the subtle but serious danger of participating in false religious practices. And as Paul made clear in chapter 8, it's not the act of eating meat offered to idols that is the problem. You can obtain that meat at the marketplace. You can take it home. You can eat it in the privacy of your home. You can enjoy it. It's good food. You don't have to be all tied in knots about whether that's all right or not. That's a non-issue. It's good. It's recommended. Please get some of that good wholesome meat and eat it as unto the Lord. eat it with God's approval and eat it with thanksgiving to God for having supplied it. But it's a different issue when the question is, should I participate in a meal in an idol's temple? Ah, that's a different matter. You see there, it's not just the meat that you're eating that's the issue. It's the message you're communicating by participating in this false religious practice. And so Paul opens the section by saying in verse 14, therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry. Don't communicate to anyone your approval on idolatrous practices. That's the general command of verses 14 and 15. And then Paul gives, as you remember, some analogies to help us understand why this is important, why this is a problem to participate in idolatrous practices. He says, first of all, think about the Lord's table, the people who partake of that food, bread and wine, identify themselves with Christ and with the people of God. And in like manner, those who participate in a communal meal in an idol's temple are communicating that they approve of the worship of that idol and of the people who also do so. Don't you understand that, Paul says? Consider the Lord's table. You can figure that out. Or consider, in verse 18, the Old Testament sacrifices. People who participated in the Old Testament worship ceremonies, who brought their animal to the temple to be sacrificed by the Levitical priest and burned upon the altar, were thereby identifying with the God of Israel and with the community of believers in the God of Israel. And don't you see, therefore, that people who participate in communal meals in the temple of an idol are communicating their agreement, their approval of that idolatrous worship? And of course, you don't want to do that. So understand, as he's wrapping this up, understand that eating meat is not the issue. Participating in idolatrous worship is the issue. And doing that, participating in idolatrous worship, is not a harmless matter, as some may think. It implies identification with a false religion, a relationship with people who are participating in that false religion. It communicates your approval, your agreement with pagan worship and demonic activity, and it sends a confusing message to others, which is a danger to them if they think that you approve of that false religion, then they will more easily continue in it without being concerned, without being troubled by it. You have really endangered the lives and eternity, the salvation or damnation of others. And so please understand the subtle but serious danger of participating in false religious practices. And so then he gets, as he wraps all of this up in verses 21 and 22, to a specific prohibition. You cannot, verse 21, you cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot partake of the Lord's table and the table of demons. Or, do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than he? In verse 21, he states a factual impossibility, and in verse 22, a factual absurdity. First of all, the factual impossibility. There's something that you cannot do. I read it again, verse 21. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You can't do that. You cannot partake of the Lord's table and of the table of demons. To participate in both Christian and pagan worship is not possible. To participate in pagan worship cancels out your participation in the worship of Christ. Don't you understand that? You cannot do both and truly worship Christ. That's the point. Obviously, it's technically possible to do both, and some of them were. And that's why there was this question. There were people who were meeting with the saints of God, participating in the worship of Jesus Christ, partaking of the elements of the Lord's table on Sunday, and then at other times during the week, going to the idol's temple and participating in a communal meal there with idol worshipers. Obviously, it's technically possible to do both, but when Paul says you cannot, what he's saying is you cannot do both and think that you are truly worshiping Christ by your activity of idolatrous participation, even if in your heart you say, well, I'm not worshiping this idol. I don't believe in this false god. Yes, but your participation in that idolatrous worship cancels out the worship of Christ that you think you are engaged in. You say, well, I don't think so. I don't agree with that. That's not the issue, what you think or what you agree with. This is what Christ is telling you through his apostle, the Apostle Paul. Christ is telling you, I don't accept the worship of people who come to the Lord's table on Sunday and go to the idol's table on Thursday. I don't accept that worship. You can't do it. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot partake of the Lord's table and of the table of demons. You can't because Christ says you can't. Remember when Jesus said something like, you'll have to choose whom you will serve. You cannot serve God and mammon. You can't do both and truly worship Christ. If you make your life's goal primarily to work and earn and save, and your goal is to acquire as much of this world's goods as you can. That's your primary purpose in life. Earning money, hoarding money, saving money, getting rich. That's who you're really serving, is the almighty dollar. And yet, there you go to church on Sunday and say, I'm a Christian, I'm serving the Lord Christ. No, you cannot serve God and mammon. It's not that there's anything sinful, intrinsically sinful, about money. It's not money is the root of all evil. It's the love of money, and that's the point. Who are you serving? Are you serving Christ or mammon? Is your goal in life to best please the Lord, and is your whole life devoted to pleasing and serving him? Or is your lip service to Christ, but your heart is really running after money? And if your heart is running after money, you cannot serve God. Cannot. God doesn't accept that kind of worship. He sees it for what it really is. It's show. It's hypocritical. It's not genuine. Your heart's not in it. And likewise, he doesn't accept the worship of those who partake in idolatrous practices. That is just simply impossible. If you may try to do it, but God says, I don't accept it. And if God doesn't accept it, then it's not a real possibility. You cannot do both. You've got to choose. Choose you this day whom you will serve. It's one or the other, God or the idol. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.